Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're talking about cheating in baseball, and the beat goes on. It's just over and over. Different decade, different cheating scandal. And
what's next? What's on the horizon next for?
But we've always said this too, Waddle, that it's not just the hitters. As Trevor Bauer has pointed out, whether it's the spin rate, and I guess is it included in the Player Tribune article that you told us where he said. When did he admit that he used a substance in a spring game to sort of make his point that if he uses it, his spin rate would increase?
I didn't see that. I don't believe that was referenced in the Players Tribune article. It was something else, I think, that Meller had talked about, if I'm not mistaken.
I was talking about there was a game in 2018. I believe I'm looking at Trevor Bauer's timeline. He tweeted about, he said, are the Astros doctoring baseball or throwing spitballs? Look at spin rates. Sorry, it's not loading now. But so Trevor Bauer alluded to the fact that teams can actually change their spin rates if they add a substance to the ball.
Now, and also, let me interject this. Somebody tweeted me and was like, well, you couldn't be more wrong about this because hitters want them to have a grip of the baseball so they don't get hit by 100-mile-an-hour baseball. That makes some sense to me, but what would you rather have? A ball get away from a pitcher or a guy who you can't hit his sinker or slider or curveball because he's affecting the spin rate with an illegal substance.
Yeah, and the advanced metrics, like they've done studies now, basically, you know, velocity is important, but spin rate yes. is just as, right. if not more important for a batter trying to hit a baseball. The higher the spin rate, the harder it is for a baseball for a player to decipher when the ball is coming in and what trajectory and all that stuff.
So if you're a batter, what would you prefer?
Exactly. So what Bauer did is he called attention to the fact that the Astros seem to have a really high spin rate, and especially guys who would then be traded, you know, by the Astros, all of a sudden their spin rates would increase. Well, Trevor Bauer went out in a regular season game one day. In the first inning, he had an unusually high spin rate for the entire first inning. And then the rest of the
game. Some goo on his hand.
The rest of the game, his spin rates dropped to his normal averages. So he never came out and said, I did it. But he basically tipped off reporters and said, hey, take a look at my spin rates in the first inning versus the rest of the game.
Right, right.
So he never actually admitted to it. But he kind of called attention to the fact that it's not just the hitting that the Astros seem to be. Right. You know, the dark arts that they're practicing.
And Waddle and I have always pointed this out. We had a discussion with somebody at Chicago Cut yesterday after our show. Thank you to them, by the way. David Flom and Maddie Moore for rolling out the red carpet. All the people who attended, our great partners who sponsored the event. First Midwest Bank, our presenting sponsor. I met a lot of people from your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Thank you to them.
It was awesome.
And Charles Barkley did this all. It was a thing where he didn't want a fee. He did this out of the goodness of his heart. And the relationship is such a good one. And it was great to see Michael Wilbon, who came as well and wanted to be a part of this.
I do believe Chicago Cut was making a donation, a sizable donation to a charity of Charles's choice.
Right.
So
yes, yes.
There was a charity element there.
Right. And Charles talked about that. If you haven't heard the interview, we'll play a part of it, the best of Chuck, the best of Barkley, I guess, is better alliteration. We'll play that after we talk to Barstool Big Cat at 4:30 today. But we were talking to somebody who was very passionate about the cheating, and we were bringing up to him, too, about pitchers. Like, when all the hitters inflated their home run numbers, there were a lot of pitchers, too, who had arm problems, who probably still do. Come back and you know, have really helped their career.
Trevor Bauer,
illegal.
In this article I'm talking about, also talks about the financial aspect and relates it to pitchers as well. There's millions of dollars at stake.
Right, and I'm not just talking about the substance. I'm saying HGH,
yes,
too.
All of it.
A lot of pitchers. And you say, when's it going to stop? I don't think it ever stops. Until these players, I've seen a lot of people tweet today, no player is really being held accountable. Beltran is only held accountable because he got a managerial job.
Right.
If he was still playing, he would not have been held accountable. So if no one's being held accountable, why would you stop cheating?
It's a really good question, especially when there is such an enormous reward at the end of the rainbow.
Jerry is in McHenry. Jerry, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. You know, just basically what you were just talking about is why would people stop cheating if they don't get caught? And I thought it was interesting. Crane is always, and the Astros, always sticking their foot in their mouth. He was asked the question about when the cheating stopped. And his answer was interesting because he said all of the 17 season and a little bit of the 18 season. So are we to believe that they just suddenly got a conscience and decided to stop cheating and for no reason because they hadn't gotten caught until the end of last season?
No, my two-word answer would be hell no, because, again, put on the video of the ALCS, the final play was Chapman pitching to Altuve, and Altuve parks one to the left center field seats.
And that's the buzzer conversation.
That was this year.
And then baseball denies. I also believe, you know me, I love conspiracy theories. I also believe that baseball doesn't want to open up another can of worms.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This is bad enough.
Yeah.
Now, if we find out later that they had buzzers, they want this now to go away.
Well, think about it. I don't know that they're even referencing banging trash can lids this past year. Maybe that's why the buzzer was more prominent this year or in that particular situation, because everyone was on to the trash can thing. So that's why he's sitting dead red on an off-speed pitch from Chapman. Go back and watch it. And you watch it, and I've seen it, you know, recently. I see it, and I go, that SOB knew exactly what was coming.
Right. And then why did he run into the dugout like that? Why did he not want his jersey ripped off?
You know, I sound like a conspiracy theorist, and people would say, you know, grab a tinfoil hat. But I'm not buying the excuse that, you know, I'm embarrassed and I'm shy and my wife was mad. How many guys have hit a game-winning home run like that in that high-leverage situation and gone into the clubhouse for something? I would think you'd take a leak before you went to the plate, not after you hit the game-winning home run.
Right. This is Aaron Boone in an ESPN.com article. Boone acknowledged that he isn't convinced that the Astros weren't wearing buzzers. Quote, "That's certainly one of those great unknowns. Certainly I've spent time, as I'm sure a lot of people have, wondering all the things that could have potentially been going on. I've spent time wondering and will probably never know for sure." So there's the manager.
Or he already knows. They just signed Garrett Cole. Aaron Boone can text
There's
or call.
There's no doubt.
Garrett Cole and say, hey, between you and me, and look, maybe he doesn't want to put it in a text, but I guarantee you Aaron Boone probably has a pretty good idea. Remember how Garrett Cole threw on the Scott Boras hat as soon as they got eliminated in Game 7?
Right, yeah.
Like, he couldn't get out of the Astros clubhouse fast enough.
Wow. Mad Mac, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mac?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Mac.
Hey, first question is for Abdal. When he was at camp, did he play any, like, moon landing practice games out there? Is that what ruined him, or what's the deal there?
No, we did. We set up a bunch of cameras and a bunch of lights to make it look like we were on the moon, and then we were like, see, it's that easy.
It's a good answer.
Yeah, so maybe he was one of the conspirators, the original conspiracy theory, huh?
Yeah, he's doing a bit. Mac,
it's like, not. I'm telling
just like
you, man.
You have a bit sometimes.
I don't think it is a bit. It was to win the space race against the Russians. I'm telling you. The first time. I'm telling you.
All right, go ahead, Mac.
Stevie Wonder's not blind.
I just was going to say, and what is your second theory? Okay.
All right, so we got this bringing up the pictures with the pine tar stuff. Okay, that's alleged. That is different from what we're talking about, because these guys actually are caught dead to right cheating. So the first thing is, it's beyond me. If you're going to break the rule and you're going to let everybody go, then just let them break whatever they want. But they got rules, so you got to stick with them. So all these guys are trying to defend them, like that kid from Houston. I was told to tone the call down here, but if your wife is out having fun with someone else,
all right, this is gonna
and
be good.
you never find out about it, is it cheating? Right?
Yes.
As long as it's going for good for you.
Wait a second. Hey. Mac, are we at Dave and Buster's shooting hoops, or is she doing something more, you know, off off script in that.
She's playing whack-a-mole.
We're talking off-road, moon landing.
Okay, gotcha.
All right,
I'm just making sure.
Now, we don't know about it.
You're something,
so
too.
So is it cheating then? Because ask that kid from Houston if his girlfriend's going out with all his buddies and then coming back and, well, everything's good for me, right? They're cheating. They should have everything stripped from them. And what do you tell your kid when you see this stuff? You go, we don't do that. We're men of honor. We don't go in that gutter with those folks. Not ever. That's it.
Right. All right, Mac, thank you. A great analogy from Mac. Greg in Gurnee says we're missing a point on something. Greg, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. I just turned it on a little, 10 minutes ago. You guys are quickly talking about spin rate, and someone mentioned how having a higher spin rate is always better, and that's honestly not the case. It's a very misperceived idea about spin rate, especially when you see a guy like A-Rod on ESPN who's talking about it. In the playoffs, what you really want is a guy who has either an above-average spin rate or a below-average spin rate. Anything in the middle is not going to be great. But if you look at a guy like for us, for the Cubs, like Kyle Hendricks, the lower his spin rate, actually the better his sinker is going to be, because a lower spin rate means more dip on the ball. A higher spin rate and, an above-average one means a more perceived rise to the batter, so it looks like the ball is rising up. But if you have some guy who's just in the middle, but you might think, oh, he's got a better spin rate than Kyle Hendricks because he's at 2,200 when Kyle Hendricks is only at 1,800. But Kyle Hendricks' ball is actually going to be harder to hit because it's in a lower spin rate. The whole goal is to have something that the hitters aren't normally equipped to in order to hit. And so I just, when people talk about spin rate, and especially when they talk about it on national TV, they get it wrong a lot of the time. So I think it's important to have that discussion and get that idea right so people can understand what this new advanced analytics is actually about.
This is like the old school Twib notes right there. That was good. That was a good pitching lecture right there.
The only thing
I
brought about spin rate was what Trevor Bauer was talking about in the article that he wrote in the Players Tribune. He referenced spin rate and trying to accelerate the spin rate.
Yeah.
So
it was still a good education, right?
Fantastic. I get what he was saying.
Billy Connors, the old Cubs pitching coach, just stepped into the room and gave us
a little pitching lesson. Are there more people trying to advance the spin rate than are trying to slow it down? Because there's more people trying to pitch.
I think
with velocity versus the way that Kyle Hendricks pitched. Would that be the best way to say?
Maybe. I think the part of the point is though is like you could only do so much physically to increase the spin rate by yourself with what your God-given gifts. Whereas when you start to doctor the baseball with different substances, well, then you've got an extra advantage that you normally would not have.
Right.
Waddle wants to know why the nut isn't going in the net. That's his new saying, and the Hawks just can't do it.
There were no nuts in nets last night.
And I think we determined the Hawks have gotten like 2 points in their last 5 games. They're winless in their last 3. What the hell is going on to a team that has to have points? Pat Boyle will join us next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You know, at least the 2 games before last night's game, the Blackhawks, looked like they had chances to win those games. The 2 home games before those games, they lost in overtime. But this last one, again, nothing against Vancouver.
Yeah, you can't get the nut in the net.
That's the new saying here.
You can't get the nut in the net. How are you going to eat?
Something the hockey show Saturdays at 9 a.m. should take up. That should be their new catchphrase.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell them how to. They're welcome, rather, to use it. But I'm not going to tell them how to do their thing because Brian and PB are experts at this.
Let's bring in Pat Boyle, who does great work at NBC Sports Chicago and also is the host of the hockey show Saturdays at 9 o'clock with Brian Hanley, and PB just got off the air about a half hour ago on the post-game show. It just, you went so late through the night.
Yeah, almost to 1 a.m. It was beautiful. It was awesome. Hey, there's always a seat open for Mr. Dangles on the hockey show on Saturday morning. So anytime you want to pull up a chair, Vulcanized rubber. We've got a spot for you.
I would love to. I'm traveling to Houston for a soccer tournament, so I'm not going to be able to make this week, but maybe next week.
You could check in with the Astros, too.
I will, yeah.
All right.
Well, why is it? So you tell me again, 0 for 5 on the power play? Why isn't the nut getting in the net?
Well, power play is a big part of it. You know, when you look at teams that have success and go deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs, special teams is strong, especially in a league right now where there's a ton of parity. And, you know, just the six games that the Hawks have played this month, they're 1-for-21 on the man advantage.
Wow.
I mean, the average power play in the league, middle of the pack, connects 20% of the time. The Hawks for the season are connecting on 14.3% of their power plays. That's the last, that they're in last right now in the NHL. So power play has been a big part of it. We saw it, you know, the other night in Winnipeg. They're up 2-0. They've got a power play opportunity to take a 3-0 lead. DeBrincat turns it over, shorthanded goal, back the other way. They've lost the special teams battle all three nights to start this road trip, and that's part of it. I also think this team is too reliant on Patrick Kane to carry them offensively. You know, Kane only has one goal in his last 15 games. And if you look at it, the Hawks have played like 57 games so far this season. There's only been 13 games all season where Patrick Kane has not factored in on the scoring, and they've only won one of those games. So they rely so much on Kane to drive the engine, and he does that a lot with assists. He hasn't done it a lot lately with goal scoring, and they're not getting it. They're not getting it on the power play. And then when you look back to last year, Kane, Taves, DeBrincat, and Strome all had career years. All four of those guys are not going to reach those numbers this year. So when you start looking at regression, you start looking at special teams.
And not to mention, PB, that you just mentioned they had those years and they still didn't get to the postseason as a team.
Right, right. Well, the goaltending is much better this year. I would look at it almost this way. Imagine where they would be if they didn't have Corey Crawford and Robin Leonard.
Right.
They'd probably be, you know, near the absolute bottom in the NHL. So the silver lining to me to these, you know, the kind of the tease thing that this team is putting you through is you've got 11 days before the February 24th deadline. It's time for Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks to be sellers. And they've got some assets on this roster that they can turn into picks. And that would be the direction that I would go here over the next week and change.
So PB, and we're talking to Pat Boyle on the Corona Hotline. You're convinced now they should be sellers now. You don't need to see more games.
No. I've seen enough. As I just stated, the body of work tells me that the talent level, while it's better than it was last year, and there's a lot of young guys that are showing me promise, like Kirby Dach and Adam Boqvist and Dominic Kubalik, who leads all rookies in points, in goals, there's a lot of upside. Overall, they don't have the talent to me to make a run at the Stanley Cup. They're not one player away. So I look at players on their roster that they can flip, and I think they've got at least two players, if not three, that are highly attractive and that could garner the Hawks first-round picks, or at worst, a second-round pick.
What about Taves?
Yeah, I'm not ready to part ways with Jonathan Taves yet. Both Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves have 3 years left on their deals after this season. Both are playing at a very high level. Taves has really played fantastic. Last year, as I told you, he put up career numbers in pretty much every offensive category. Patrick Kane is still, to me, a top five player in this league. They bring so much to the table. They they also help out the TV ratings and make sure that the United Center has 22,000 there every night. If this same team, let's just say this, if this same team sat 6 points out of the playoffs without those two guys, there is no chance the United Center would look the way it does. Right. Every given night.
Well, and could I also, I mean, would it be fair to say, too, that this team is not like bottom of the barrel? They're not a disaster. They need to be tweaked, but they're closer to a group that is, there's a lot of mediocrity in the league, right, PB, that if they made a few moves that went the right way, maybe they're 6 points up on, you know, the next closest wild card team, not... I guess the point is they're not a disaster at this point, so
tweaking
total rebuild.
Parity is alive and well, and look, they have been rebuilding on the fly here the last couple of years. We saw last year with the number 3 overall pick how you can plug and play a guy right away. You drafted a guy in June. He's 18 years of age. He just turned 19, and he's now centering Patrick Kane's line. Now, I think they've had to accelerate the timeline for a guy like Doc, and they've accelerated Boquist to a degree. And part of the reason why that power play took a step back this year is because they decided to develop those players. And look, I don't disagree with that. You know, it's the same thing that, you know, you talk about when you're discussing the Bulls about, you know, players getting better and developing. That, you know, Kirby Doc is going to be a top 6 centerman in this league for the next 10 years. He needs to play in the power play. But because you put him out there, you're probably going to take a step back in production. That's just the reality of the situation. So, you know, at times this year, I think they've looked at development and productivity has taken a step back. But to your point, Tom, I don't think they are that far away.
Right.
And to me, when you got a player like Eric Gustafson, a defenseman, who last year had 60 points, there's only 8 defensemen in the entire league that had 60 points. He was one of them. He's a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. To me, he's the number one guy that I would move. And the minimum you would get coming back is a second-round pick. I'd like to think you could get a first-round pick, depending if you package that with a prospect. Corey Crawford is another one. You know, you've got a situation here where we all know Robin Leonard and Corey Crawford are both unrestricted free agents at the end of the year. You've got to make a call if you're Stan Bowman. Who's going to be your guy going forward? I tend to think they're going to go Leonard. Leonard's obviously younger at 28. Crow is 35. But Leonard is not going to give a discount, as he admitted a couple weeks ago. So I assume Bowman has already talked to Leonard's camp. They've heard kind of the parameters to what they want in a long-term deal. I would then approach Corey and say, hey, look, this is the direction we're going. We appreciate all of the service. We're not going to be able to afford you next year in a 1A, 1B role or a backup role. Give us the 10 teams with your modified no-trades clause that you would like to go to. And these are the 4 teams that are in the playoff hunt that have contacted us. We're going to send you to one of those teams, and we're going to give you an opportunity to go make more money for yourself, because your deal is up, and you could take a team a round or two in the playoffs and get yourself an extra couple $1 million a year or an extra year or so added to the contract. And that's just the reality of the way I would deal with the situation. And in return, you would get a first-round pick, and you could probably get a top prospect in the other team's system. So these are some things that they can do. And I think you just need to take a good hard look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is the reality of the situation. We keep saying we're in the mix. We're really not in the mix. So let's make sure. And we had John McDonough on the hockey show last Saturday, and he said as much. While the goal is to make the playoffs, the real goal of the franchise is to win championships. And so they're not going to go for the short fix and have that take away from the big picture. So I really think that's the mindset they're going to take here at the trade deadline.
This is really good stuff. So who do you have on today? On Saturday, anybody of note?
This guy, Eddie Olczyk. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy.
I have heard about him, yeah.
Eddie! Yeah, he's going to be joining us, I think, from Colorado Springs. It's Hockey Day in America this weekend. They've got a bunch of outdoor games, so he'll be doing one of those, but he's been with the Hawks on this Western Canadian road trip. We'll get the latest on his thoughts on the team, what Stan and the Hawks should do between now and that February 24th
deadline.
And
some future picks on the Kentucky Derby in May as well.
So, we could do that as well. Right. Yeah.
You're already thinking about the Derby, huh? You want the early
it's
picks.
It's February.
I mean,
you're two months away. This is where you get value.
March,
3 months
April,
away. Yeah, it's like 2.5 months away. It's early.
Degenerate.
Listen, you're going to
He was watching horse racing before the show.
I was watching races in Gulfstream. Come on.
He's changed, doesn't he, PB?
He's unbelievable.
I'm
going to
buy a horse with Coach Q and Eddie, and I'm going to move to Hallandale Beach, and I'm going to go to the racetrack every day.
Yeah, that, and you're going to watch hockey games. It's just going to be a whole new you.
This team keeps losing, for crying out loud, 5 straight games.
Well, that's the other thing, and I didn't want to bring that up as the reason why they're struggling. It's because the Waddle and Sylvie curse, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to stoop to that level.
That's a curse in 10 and 13 and 15. We talk talks then,
Pat,
PB.
Listen, I'm going to take the L. Sylvie can say, wait, I'm going to take the L. This one's on me, all right? I'm taking the L.
All right.
Maybe Stan can trade you two guys for, you know, the morning show chuckle hot.
Talk about not getting the nut in the net. I mean,
Ronick's available, by the way.
Too soon?
Wow.
No,
I mean, really?
I was just saying. PB, thank you.
Thanks,
all right, see you, boys.
Don't step sideways. You know where Sylvie will kick you.
There's the Pat Boyle, the hockey show, brand new, and it's awesome. And Brian Hanley's added to the team. It was good to see him in Chicago. It's Saturday at 9 o'clock. All right, we've got Waddle's World next. Barstool Big Cat at 4.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run. He's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. As we've talked all day, the Astros have apologized for their actions in 2017 in the sign-stealing scheme. Why do we keep saying it's only from 2017?
That's all that's proven at this point, or at least what they...
That was the report. Yeah, that's what they...
I know, but I...
No, you're right, Waddle. It's their convenient way of making you believe that...
We stop. Look, I'm telling you, if you guys want to doubt it, not you guys, people in general, go back, if you have access to Game 7, wasn't it Game 7 of the ALCS, they bring in Chapman, and the one thing I remember... What do you remember about Chapman on that mound that day more than anything else, if you guys are baseball fans... The way I know you are.
He's bringing the heat?
And the heat is the operative question because he was sweating like he had stole something.
Oh, yeah, he's a sweater.
Oh, and it was like, I've never seen, even as a sweater, I've never seen anyone sweating.
I remember
more.
In 16 how much he was.
Ooh,
like a fountain.
Does he sweat?
It was Patrick Ewing type sweat.
Yes. And if you watch, I mean, it's just, it's crazy what happened.
I think if possible, there's actually... The Astros are getting less scrutiny because the Nationals were able to win this year's World Series.
Right.
Could you imagine if the Astros won Game 7 this year and they had won a second title in 3 years? Like, I think we're kind of like neglecting the fact that, like you just said, Waddle, it probably was happening this year.
Especially if we would have lost money on it, because at that point, we would have lost money.
Oh, and the howling that would be going on.
I would have been personally affected, and then I would have cared a whole lot more.
I'm wondering how much... You know, gamblers are pissed right now because you probably don't remember gambling on baseball in 2017, do you?
How much has Mattress Mac made on the Astros cheating?
Probably
a ton.
Anyway, speaking of Aroldis Chapman, he calls Altuve's jersey grab suspicious now. Yankees reliever, speaking through an interpreter, called Altuve's actions at the end of the 2019 ALCS a little suspicious.
Yep.
In that final game, as I've tried to describe, poorly, I'm sure. Chapman threw an off-speed pitch that Altuve hit for a series-ending walk-off home run. As Altuve rounded third base, he clutched at the collar of his shirt, yelling at teammates not to rip off his jersey. Actions that have since raised speculation that he may have been wearing some kind of wiring that tipped off him off to the identity of the pitch. And I would take it a step further. If I'm not mistaken, and if I am mistaken, please correct me. Before he came out onto the field and did the interview with Ken Rosenthal, he went into the clubhouse. He went down to the dugout and then went into the clubhouse and then came out, and then they interviewed him, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, right. Someone asked the question. Someone asked the question. They said, Sylvie, if there are real buzzers going on, why hasn't the media been able to see them in the clubhouse? And they wanted to know if there's a buffer time. And the answer is yes. The media does not go in the clubhouse as soon as the game ends. There's 15 or 20 minutes usually that goes by before the media is allowed in. So and there are several areas of a clubhouse today that are off limits.
Yeah.
Storage room, equipment room, weight rooms, team cafeterias.
Buzzer attachment rooms.
Right, right. The buzzer room that you can, we are not allowed in. And so, you know, it's yeah.
That would be hilarious if there's a room that has buzzer room across
it. Buzzer room.
It is the media's like, what's that?
Waddle, was it you who said it's like when you walk in, you go and you get the sensor, and when your table's ready, it buzzes
Panera.
You?
It's like, I got this whole big order, and it's sitting on my desk, and it vibrates and lights up and lets you know your meal's ready. It's a buzzer, Meller.
You had your eyes somewhere else,
Meller. It's a buzzer for lunch, you know, when you take your family to dinner.
Yeah, at Panera.
Jeez.
Or your table's ready sometimes.
Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert says Big Ben is rehabbing, and he's not at the end of the road yet.
Did you see AB2 again apologize to Ben Roethlisberger?
He's on the apology tour.
You know why? I think
because he wants to get back in the league and make some money.
He thinks if there's a team that's going to let him back, it's the team that knew him best.
I would say that the one team that is least likely to re-sign him is the team that knows him best. Go back and read some of the stories about how, I think Jeremy Fowler was telling stories on Get Up one morning a while ago. Somebody was about how a lot of the stuff, people didn't even know how much of a distraction
That's my point.
He wouldn't show up for practice.
That they hit it so well and they dealt with it so well in his mind. I'm not saying that this is reality, because we know AB may not be in reality. But in his reality, he believes maybe it's the Steelers would take him back. After his rough year, I'm going back home.
Yeah. I'm just watching a more slender Tiger Woods play golf today. It's entertaining.
What do you mean more slender?
He looks like he's dropped some weight. He looks fit. He looks like a guy who's had a history of back injuries, and he's no longer carrying all that bulk. You remember how he used to look like a safety? He didn't look like a golfer for a long time. He looked like a safety. He now looks more like a golfer.
Maybe he's not lifting as much?
That's my point. Yes, he got off the weights. Clippers, Paul George fined $35,000 for comments on officiating. I know that's like the most you could probably fine him, but that's like tip money, isn't it?
I know, but do you want to be fined $350?
No, I don't.
Right. That's my point. So isn't
$350 is not tip money for me, my friend.
Well, but is $350 to you equivalent to $35,000? I still think an NBA player, they're millionaires. They don't want to write a check for $35,000.
No, I'm with you. I don't know
if that's tip money.
My point is that I don't think a lot of these fines for these athletes anymore are much of a deterrent. I really don't. I don't think he's waking up today going, and yeah, I'm sure he loves $35,000. I mean, he's not happy about losing $35,000. I just don't know what kind of deterrent this is any longer. Anyway, he criticized officials for home cooking in a 110-103 loss to the Sixers on Tuesday night. Sixers on Tuesday night. Did you see any of the highlights of the Lakers game from last night? It was really, I didn't see the game.
Entertaining?
But the highlights were even entertaining with LeBron still doing crazy stuff.
LeBron stuff. Oh, but awesome. You're impressed now? No, not the picture, but you're impressed now.
I'm impressed by, him bodying guys up and taking guys who are hanging on him to the basket and dunking. Not some under the basket shot of a 6'8" LeBron James dunking the basketball with no defender within 100 feet of him. That doesn't float my boat.
By the way, did you give the score? The Tiger is 4 under through 8 holes today.
Tied for second place.
He's playing good golf these days, Waddle.
Yes, he
another
is.
Another Masters could be there for the
taking. You should probably go this year. Devin Booker is going to replace the injured Damian Lillard at the All-Star game. He's going to participate in a three-point contest one day after the Trailblazers, Booker is, after Lillard suffered a right groin strain. So not only is Lillard not going to play in the game, right, Abdallah? He's not even going to participate in the three-point
He's not going to do the game. He's not going to do the three-point contest. He's going to rap, though. Yes, Dame Dalla will be rapping on Saturday night. Yep. So during one of the breaks between the either whether it's a dunk contest or the three-point contest or something.
The only down thing about this year's All-Star festivities and game is I was mentioning in the pre-show fist fight, we're not getting KD, we're not getting Steph, and now we're not getting Dame. It's been a bad year.
Isn't that perfect, though? Like, isn't that perfect for how Chicago is? Oh, well, you're not getting LeBron or Wade or Bosh, so you're going to get Carlos Boozer. For the All-Star game, you're not getting, like, the top. Like, you're going to get LeBron, don't worry. But, like, the best players? No.
Mm-mm. And then more bad news for free agents coming here when we talk to Big Cat, because we feel like the timing of the weather is not good.
By the way, Damian Lillard's groin report is brought to you, injury report brought to you by Rush University Medical Centers. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at chooserush.org. I have a story about Colin Kaepernick, and I have a folder full of nonsense for when we return.
It's all coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Is set to release his memoir. The former NFL QB will release a memoir this year through a publishing company he has founded called Kaepernick Publishing. The audiobook company Audible will release a version as well. Quote, I want to tell the story of my evolution and the events that led me to protest systemic oppression in hopes that it will inspire others to rise in action. Kaepernick said in a statement Thursday he has not been with an NFL team since 2017. And I don't know if we ever read the story, but I believe there was conversation between the XFL and Colin Kaepernick and his representatives. He wanted $20 million to play in the XFL.
So that's they're not paying $20 million.
No,
I mean, a player who hasn't played in 3 years isn't getting nearly that in the NFL.
Now, my guess is because of the attention that he would draw and the potential marketing benefit from having someone of his, at the very least, star power, however you want to define that, in the league, that maybe they could find a way to recoup that money and it wouldn't be a significant drain on the league. But I was more than a little shocked to hear his request was $2 million per game.
Yeah.
Unless what their interpretation was that the XFL just wanted to use him, you know, to boost their league, and there was no real, you know, if it was sort of a publicity stunt coming from the XFL. But I guess Oliver Luck said those are not finances that we can participate in. So anyway, that's
the
story.
Would he pay Andrew $20 million?
I think
Andrew get it? If he said, look, I'm going to play in the
No, I don't think so.
No, not even his son?
I don't think so. Nope. A Massachusetts woman became an unexpected getaway driver after a man she met on a dating app robbed a bank on their first date.
So it's their first date. She's driving.
Yes.
And he robs a bank.
Christopher Castillo, the unnamed woman's would-be Robin Hood, pleaded guilty this week to armed robbery and 3 counts of assault and battery on a police officer, all committed on their first date on December 5th of 2016, according to the Bristol County District Attorney's Office. Castillo was sentenced to 3 years in state prison for the robbery, plus 2 years in the Bristol County House of Corrections for violently struggling against and spitting on police who tried to subdue him. A worst date ever, I guess.
Yeah, that's not a good date.
No. dating app. Or, do you think he was just looking for a getaway driver and he really wasn't looking for love?
Wouldn't you just call Uber then? Instead of lining up a date?
I don't know. That's a really good question. It's really interesting. Someone in Maine, a Maine man, fired up his lawnmower and went for a ride in the dead of winter, leading to a drunken driving arrest. The Augusta, Maine Police Department posted a photo of two police cruisers pulling over a small riding lawnmower. Edson Moody, 44, was issued a summons and his tractor was towed away. He was arrested for operating under the influence of intoxicants.
Makes sense.
Lawnmower.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's the winter or the summer. If you ride your lawnmower while drunk, you're operating while intoxicated.
Yes, I got another. Another kind of strange police stories here.
Have you ever rode a lawnmower? Have you ever?
We had a really long yard where I first grew up. And we had a riding mower because it would have taken forever to use. But I used to cut the lawn on the riding mower. And then when I was a kid, I was kind of like the handy kid for this area where my dad used to work. So I cut all the lawns in this office.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's and like you I used can't to have buy a, me love. You were the guy and you can't buy me love.
I don't know.
Can't buy me
is.
Love. Remember, he used to cut lawns.
That was me. And I had a riding lawnmower. And I just used to ride around on it.
I think his name was Ronnie, wasn't it?
I was never intoxicated riding the lawnmower, though. I did also put lead paint on cinder blocks laying upside down with machine grease dripping all over me. So if you're looking for an explanation as to why I do and act the way I do, lead paint and machine tool grease.
And football.
Yeah, some of that stuff. A man in Australia has pleaded guilty to a charge of talking on a handheld cell phone while riding a horse.
You can't text or talk on your phone while riding a horse?
Didn't have a hands-free device.
Now, this, I didn't know that.
Yes, so he was guilty. So that's kind of odd, isn't it?
By the way, it's getting worse with just people in public with their heads down with the phone. We're in the middle of the parking lot where cars are coming around corners fast. And there will be someone not paying attention. People crossing the street against the light with their eyes glued to their phone. We're getting really, really bad. I know we've been bad. It's getting worse, Waddle. I've really noticed it in the last week.
Take the phone away from the kids, people.
It's not just the kids. It's adults.
It's a learned behavior, though. If you take it away from them at an early age, maybe they'll be less inclined to do it when they get to be older. Here's a Waddle's World update. Browns and Bengals fans are not eligible for medical marijuana. The State Board, Medical Board of Ohio has ruled. Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals fans can't legally use medical marijuana to treat their suffering caused by their teams. The State Medical Board of Ohio has ruled.
They petitioned them, right? Or like one fan did?
Yes.
Because it's a condition.
Can't be done. This man will pay you $25,000 if you find him a girlfriend.
Okay.
Prairie View, Kansas-based entrepreneur is offering $25,000 to the real-life Cupid who can land him a girlfriend. I'm single. I don't want to go back to the normal app-based dating style, said Jeff Gebhardt in the welcome video on the landing page of his new site, datejeff.com.
Isn't that basically like you could be like a sugar daddy? Because couldn't a girl say, look, I'll be your girlfriend, just give me the $25,000?
That's called prostitution.
Well, not necessarily. I'm not saying for that. I don't know. The definition of a sugar daddy. Is that the same thing? Everybody's...
No, your sugar daddy is like an older guy with a really young girl. So what are you saying?
Who's only with the person because of their money.
Correct.
Right.
But he's offering $25,000 to somebody to set him up with somebody.
Right. But, quote, set me up with somebody.
Right.
But if a girl volunteers, I'll be your girlfriend. Would he say no?
I don't know. We're going to have his name. His name is Jeff. Why don't you log on to datejeffg.com? He's in Prairie View, Kansas. He's 47 years old. He isn't shy about his credentials of getting down to getting down to brass tacks. According to his profile, his name's Jeff Gebhardt. Says he's 5'7", 160 pounds, has 9% body mass. He also reveals that he is childless and has never been married.
He's got a good looking dog.
I've run with the bulls in Spain, jumped out of a few airplanes, and have been known to snowboard wearing my pink bunny costume. So there you go. If you're interested, dial up datejeff.com. And finally, Americans overwhelmingly want UFO X-Files to be made public. As the UK government gets set to make its classified UFO files available to the public, the majority of Americans want the U.S. government to do the same. 61% of the surveyed respondents want the government to declassify the country's so-called X-Files. A similar percentage, 58%, said they believe the U.S. government actively investigates extraterrestrial life. Breaking down the survey further, 63% of millennials and those in Generation X said they want the U.S. to release its UFO files, while 39% of those questioned said they believe Area 51 is a place where secret alien missions are conducted.
I want to know all that stuff.
Do you know that a lot of the employees that work at the Area 51 location are flown in on like a private government plane and flown back out?
Oh.
It's that secretive?
Yes. I definitely want to know. There's got to be
something.
You
imagine flying to work and flying home every day?
Crazy.
That's what they do.
Barstool Big Cat will join us coming up in 2 minutes. And did the timing of this really cold weather hurt the Bulls this weekend? We'll explain in 2 minutes.